Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Give me some juice, baby. Oh, yeah. Good to be with you on a Wednesday.
All right, you don't have to do your impressions this early, Sean. You're doing impressions of the intro? All right.
Here we go.
We got serious business to get down to
Chiefs,
here, okay?
You're right.
Thanks. None of this ha-ha, funny stuff, okay?
It's not how we're going to get to be the best in the world, that's for sure. Thanks for setting me straight. We are one day closer. We're 72 hours away, man, from the
Yeah, thank God.
Texas
that's right. You
Chiefs.
Know, yesterday it was a nice surprise seeing a CJ Stroud press conference come into my inbox because it's a Saturday game again.
Yeah.
And everything gets it's weird because the work week for us doesn't really change at all. Yet we get these little morsels earlier in the week. We get the normal Wednesday press conference on a Tuesday. Today you're going to get a little bit of Bobby Slowick action in your life.
Yeah. Some hot Slowick action, yes.
Matt Burke, who is an underrated press conference watch. He's a lot of fun.
We don't play enough Matt Burke on the show, I don't think. He's pretty good.
He's really good. I think the problem is that it's D'Amico's defense.
Yeah.
So Matt Burke's the defensive coordinator, but I think when a lot of the discussion around the defense comes back to D'Amico Ryans, I need to do a better job of that. A lot of times I'll see some really good Matt Burke stuff and then I forget that, like, oh yes, this would be good for the radio show that I do every single day.
Yeah. And we get some Frank Ross too. Boy, Frank Ross was fired up on Saturday. Mm-hmm. He was, did you?
Well, with good reason.
With good reason. No, but he running alongside D'Angelo Ross on that 2-point return. And then he was all jacked up when D'Angelo Ross came in and got a piece of the ball on that punt. Did you see any of the D'Amico mic'd up stuff from this week?
No, I did. I had only just a couple of clips of him running on the sidelines.
The full video is out. I watched it last night. Full video. Boy, like I watched it. I made the mistake of watching it before I went to bed. Like I watched it at like 9:30, and I'm like, I watched that, and I'm like, now I'm up till 10:30.
He got all amped up.
Yes. Yeah, man, and the only thing I don't like about the mic'd up stuff, and I understand it, is you don't see a lot of the strategic stuff that D'Amico does. I feel like it probably, if you don't know anything about D'Amico Ryans and you just watch that 9-minute video, you're probably like, oh, all right, well, he's just this guy that goes around and says, yeah, way to go, baby, way to go, boy, yeah, and you know that there's a whole lot more to that just from talking, and I know the Christian Harris one from last year on the pick and stuff like that.
Well, no, for those of people that don't know, there was one last year in the playoffs where D'Amico's on the sideline with Christian Harris basically explaining to him how he was going to get a pick six.
Right.
And it was awesome. It was everything that you know that D'Amico's been able to do with linebackers and how much better guys like Henry Toa have gotten just over the course of 1 year. And, yeah, that part of D'Amico, the actual football coaching side of D'Amico, the defensive player side of coaching, the other thing that's really paid dividends is his ability to bring in these kind of either blue-collar or journeyman type of defensive tackles and get absolute most out of them to the point where 100% this year and on into the future, Houston's going to be a destination for guys who are like, man, All right, this is not the attention that I feel I should be getting in free agency. I'm going to go to Houston, play for a year, and then just like Sheldon Rankins. And a couple other guys, like go off and get a better contract somewhere else if I don't re-sign in Houston.
If I don't know what I haven't checked the contractual situations of these guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, to see if it was just a 1 year deal. But if it were, like Tim Settle's going to get more money next year somewhere else, yeah, or here, maybe. You know, if they want to keep him here, he's going to get a raise. Mario Edwards, if he's on a 1 year deal, he's going to get a raise from somebody. Like those guys have had excellent seasons. You know, the suspension that Mario got notwithstanding, when he's been on the field, he's been excellent this year. And Rankins is a good example, too.
Well, and the defensive tackles did a really good job of adjusting in the game last week, where in the first. The thing that's really vexed the Texans defensively over the last few weeks has been teams are taking advantage of how aggressive the defensive front is. So these traps and whams where they bait a defensive tackle to run upfield and then they just blindside them. They figured out how to play that, when to be a little bit more conservative. They changed their alignments a little bit, and that was a big difference in the game.
Mm-hmm.
If they hadn't made that adjustment in the Chargers game, the Chargers would have just kept running right down their throats.
Yep.
So on the actual strategy side of things, that was a huge part of the game last week.
Yeah, no doubt. I just feel like anything, I've been saying this since D'Amico got here, like anything in the front seven, linebackers or defensive linemen, you're going to get the best version of those guys plus 20% when you bring them in here. Like you're right. It's been really cool to see. My favorite part of the mic'd up was after one of the turnovers, and apparently Aziz got them into like the perfect defense for whatever play the Chargers had called, and Aziz comes over to the sideline. D'Amico hugs him. He goes, "You're gonna make a hell of a defensive coordinator someday."
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. Okay. I definitely will go back and watch that part of it then.
Yeah.
Because we can go break down the play before that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And I think that's where too. I think the Texans have had just in that 12-day stretch where they had the three games and it did not go so well with the second and third game. I've been hesitant to point to the absence of Aziz Alshire as being a huge factor in all of that because it almost feels like excuse making, but it is real. And I'm not saying that all of a sudden just Aziz being on the field would have, you know, helped you beat the Ravens or anything, but it would have made a big difference in how bad it was, especially given the nature of the things the Ravens were doing. Having a guy like Aziz directing traffic, alerting guys pre-snap, all that stuff, it makes a big difference. So it's not, I don't know if it's the X factor that changes your fates versus the Chiefs, but it's a big difference.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the Chiefs, because the Ravens game, I don't think Jesus Christ himself, on his birthday, albeit, would have shown up and helped you win that game. Like you lost 31-2, but he missed the Chiefs game too. Like you just said, that Chiefs game was a one score game. That was a close game. That was a game you had the ball in the fourth quarter with a chance to tie. And that is something that, like, on the margins, Aziz Alshire maybe is the difference in that game.
Right,
you know, having Aziz in the for a team that loves to work the middle of the field, the Kansas City Chiefs. Having Aziz Alshire in there, a guy that coaches say, like, man, you got to keep an eye on zero, and quarterbacks say that too. You got that is something, you know. If we got to worry about the Ravens, that's a great problem to have. It means you beat the Chiefs, man. But in that Chiefs game, like Aziz, I think there's excuses and there's reasons, and I think Aziz is way more a reason than he is an excuse, particularly for the Chiefs game.
Right. Yeah, the Chiefs ran for 124 yards that game. Yep. It wasn't like they just destroyed the Texans on the ground, but it was a big factor in the game. You know, Kareem Hunt had that, what, he had like a 20-yarder.
Mahomes scored on a scramble that just, like, that look, the Texans looked asleep, you know?
Yeah.
Like a 20-yard scramble.
Mahomes' rushing ability... That's one thing, man. Yesterday, CJ said something where he was asked about his running in the Chargers game, and he had talked about how he basically specifically said, you know, I want to be an elite passer. And I just, man, I blame my generation for giving CJ and others his age good advice about, hey, listen, man, don't let them pigeonhole you into being all the code words for an athletic quarterback or anything like that. Which is true, yes. Don't let them pigeonhole you into, you know, thinking that you're just a running quarterback. But A, nobody's going to accuse CJ of being an athletic quarterback. B, no. The modern NFL, running is a part of playing the quarterback position. Pat Mahomes is not an incredible athlete, but he runs very, very effectively. And nobody's accusing him of not being a pure passer. So he's got to get comfortable and more comfortable just taking those easy yards when they're there for the taking. And Pat Mahomes is the perfect example of a guy that does all that.
It was interesting, you know, and we'll play this audio a little later in the show, but as long as you're bringing it up, I thought it was cool yesterday seeing him talk about how on the interception he went back and looked at the iPad or whatever the Microsoft version of it is, and he saw that they weren't even accounting for him, you know, on defense, and that was in his mind when he went and got the 27-yard scramble. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, he also pointed out that he is young and he's still learning these things. That is right. He's 23 years old and he's in the second year. And some of these things just take reps.
Takes reps and
time.
Yeah, like his level of play his first 2 years has kind of made us forget that. Do you have a favorite Diontae Johnson memory from his time as a Houston Texan? Over now. He was waived yesterday.
My favorite memories are every single time I named him as an X factor in the upcoming
game. You went deep on him before one of the games. I can't remember which. I think it was before the Charger game.
And this week he'll again be an X factor. And that I don't know what they'll do without the absence of the mythical X factor.
X right through his face on the media guy.
Yeah. Diontae Johnson released yesterday.
Yeah.
Which makes it so now he's been booted out of four teams in 1 year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, a little over a calendar year. Yeah.
One calendar year,
You're right. It might be under a calendar year because he was, it's been within a year. He's been booted. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday. This won't take long. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday on the end of the Diontae Johnson era.
Yeah, with Diontae, unfortunately, it didn't work out. And you know, we're on to the Chiefs.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's the right answer.
Out.
Yep. The reports were, for those who don't know, the report, because I think there's probably people who hadn't heard this report yet are like, wow, I thought he was supposed to be like this, like tank, a poor man's tank here. He was sulking in the locker room after the win over the Chargers because of playing time. multiple reports from people who were, from reporters who were in the locker room and noticed Joe Mixon and Azeez Alshire having to go over and say, like, hey, bruh, we just won a playoff game.
You know what he needs? He needs to read the book that A.J. Brown was reading on the sideline.
You're reading it right now, right?
Inner Excellence by Jim Murphy. Jim Murphy's he's kind of like a sports psychologist, guru, mental performance training type guy, every single time I read one of these books, I start off like, whatever, this is all going to be the same old crap. But you know what? The same old crap, it's the same old crap because a lot of it is true.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm enjoying it so far. The big thing about this book so far, from what I've gleaned, is it is a whole lot about not being so wrapped up in yourself, about kind of focusing your energy outward, like almost in a positive way, even towards your opponent, but also remembering that the enjoying the moment and being absorbed in the moment and not being worried about accolades and all those other things, including just what the story in your head is about what you need to do. Like, and I think it's very fitting for wide receivers.
Yeah.
Because for wide receivers, so much of it is about, like, all right, man, you can do everything the right way, but the ball might not come your way that day.
Yeah.
But you got to just get in the moment and just excel at your job, running the routes, all those things, and don't get caught up in all of the other stuff. And I can see why A.J. Brown is reading it, because I know everybody's thinking, like, wasn't there drama between him?
It was 2 months ago.
I'm guessing somebody gave him the book a couple months ago.
Well, it's good that A.J.'s reading. He's underlining it and highlighting it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I talked to Brooks Cabina, the beat writer up there, formerly of the Houston Chronicle, and he tried to dig in and find out. He asked A.J. Brown what the underlined pieces were, and he said he wouldn't tell him.
Not
going to give away the secrets.
Yeah, it's a good recommendation by you. I'm no therapist. I think Diontae Johnson is far more than just one book reading away from being
Yeah, but that's how it all starts.
Yeah, no, that's what I said. It's a good recommendation. I just think there's a lot of bricks in that wall that need to be put back in.
There is a lot. I know, but sometimes it just dawns on people all of a sudden, like, holy crap, yeah, I'm my own worst enemy. Yeah. I gotta get out of my head here a little bit.
Yeah, maybe the fifth or sixth team he'll wake up and figure that out. It's crazy.
Maybe he's never read Inner Excellence.
That's what I said. It's a good recommendation.
Brooks said he felt really bad for whoever's self-help book was next to Inner Excellence on the bookshelf at the bookstore.
Oh, because Philly.
Because Inner Excellence is probably just rocketed up.
For sure,
that.
For sure. All right, Payne and Pendergast, we're off and running on a Wednesday. We'll keep digging deep into the playoff matchup coming up on Saturday. Chiefs and Texans, 3:30 kickoff. You can hear it here on Sports Radio 610. The big key to last week's win, according to Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans, preemptively, they talked about it before the game. Do we still think that the afternoon show might have an issue with the work based on what D'Amico Ryan said on his coach's show? So we'll talk about that. We'll hear from the Chiefs, too. We'll get some of their thoughts on the Houston Texans as well. That's coming up next.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
From the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
And it's good to be with you guys. I'm excited for this weekend. It's going to be fun. Text message. Would the Chiefs pick up Diontae Johnson just to get intel on the Texans for the playoff game this weekend? Now, it's a fair question. I will say this. The other reports were that Diontae Johnson, you know, that the playbook wasn't, you know, totally...
Yeah, that was
immersed in the playbook.
Right.
That was part of it. I don't know. Yeah, Diontae Johnson has I don't know how much intel Diontae Johnson was himself getting on the Texans while he was.
Yeah,
there.
I don't like Diontae Johnson doesn't strike me as the guy who's like, oh, we need to pick his brain to figure out how to, you know, I don't know, steal this technology for Apple. So it's maybe, but I'm not overly worried about it if they do.
No,
it doesn't seem like Diontae Johnson has necessarily either the appetite or the aptitude to pick up a playbook.
Well,
so
played.
In his 2 or 3 weeks here in Houston, maybe. Now, you got to remember, though, too, well, yeah, you can pick him up and put him on your practice squad.
Yeah.
I was about to say, like, you've only got so many spots on the roster. You don't want to boot somebody, but they could put him on the practice squad. If you're a Texans fan that's worried about that, worry about, like, 1,900 other things first.
Yeah. Good call. Here was Nick Caserio with us last week, about a week ago today, with us talking about the Texans getting ready for the Chargers and saying that the way they're working this week has typically led to success during the season.
Yeah, definitely appreciative of the opportunity. I think when you kind of turn the page and you get through the regular season, to have your team in a position to compete when you're playing meaningful football in December and January, it carries a certain weight along with it. So everybody's excited about the opportunity in front of us. We had a great sort of first day of preparation, first day of work. We were actually out there on a field yesterday practicing on a Tuesday, which isn't normal, but the fact that the game is Sunday, we've kind of structured the schedule. And what we've found is when we work, we play good football. So the players were focused. The players had the right mindset. And it's not easy because you come off the heels of a Sunday game and you got to kind of turn the page. But everybody understands what's in front of us and the awareness is heightened. And everybody's excited about the opportunity in front of us against a good Los Angeles team that's coming in here on Saturday.
All right. Now we have the benefit of hindsight. Whatever they were doing last week worked out really, really well for them.
Right, and I think that, you know, we had a disagreement with the afternoon show as to what Nick meant by all of that, and partly it's just because in that soundbite right there, your mind goes to, like, what, were guys not working hard enough? Right. We had further discussion about it, and really it was a load management, and what the Texans experimented with or tried this year, especially in short weeks, was, all right, you know, the GPS data is telling this, and you gotta be concerned about guys getting overly beat up or not recovered. So there were times where they scaled back the practice schedule, and then the last week I said, all right, no, you know, maybe pads. Maybe the data tells us that we should take a break, or maybe we should go no pads. Nope. We're gonna go out and we're gonna practice in pads. It's just hard this time of year. Guys are beat up, and even before the days of all the data stuff, old school football coaches would have to, in the NFL especially, would really have to struggle with these decisions about how hard do we practice this late in the year. I never took it as, like, guys on the field weren't practicing hard. It was just a matter of, are we practicing at all? What kind of practices are we having? They've decided to go the old school route and just say, yep, we're still in pads because it works for us.
Yeah, I like it. And CJ brought it up unprompted in a couple of interviews after the game.
Yeah.
Practicing in pads. Here was D'Amico Ryans on his coach's show talking about the prep for the Charger game last week.
You have to put the work in. Right. That's one thing I don't want to, want our guys to understand. You never shortchange the work. Like, we're going to, with the way we work throughout the week, has shown up in games throughout our entire season. We have a really good week of work, and we've been on the winning side of things when we go and play games. Right? When we've had short weeks, we've had, you know, things happen where we had to cut reps and all those things. In practice, we don't play as well. So we'll continue to work like that this week. We have a full workload this week, and so hopefully it still, you know, translates to a win.
And like, honestly, this is the way it works. And on various teams, what really matters is that you've got buy-in from your veterans, because there's almost like a union versus the company mindset at times, where the vet players are like, wait, coach, what are we doing? Or guys are, you know, you rely on your veterans to tell you whether guys are tired or not. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a good relationship between the coaches and the veteran players, the coach can have those conversations and, you know, come to almost like a labor agreement about, like, yeah, we really need this. Like, at a good company where, you know, like, the union foreman, like, wants the best for the company, so he's not just always trying to screw over the boss, but the boss also genuinely wants to help the players out. You got to have a good relationship in that regard. So on that side of it, when you're asking the team to practice in pads late in the year, and guys are banked up and they have to fight their way through it, they got to believe that it's important, you know, and they got to believe that, yeah, this really matters. So it's not just going out there in pads. It's guys actually embracing it and saying, yeah, we're going to have a good practice in pads. Even though it sucks, we know that our team is better when we do this. And it sounds like they got that.
Well, that's where the validation, right, of you had all three phases play well on Saturday. You know, like, that's where the not just fact that they won, but that they won so convincingly. The offense had its best game in a long, long time.
Yeah.
It wasn't perfect. It was bad for a quarter and a half. But the defense might have had its best game of the year on Saturday, and then special teams did some things. I think that helps. You know, that's the equivalent of the old the old ding for you, Seth.
Well, yeah,
you
know, you've got the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah.
And like, and all of that goes back to, I mean, some of this stuff, to have an environment like that, you got, that's years in the making in terms of what types of guys you have on the
for
team.
Sure.
I always go back to when CJ was on the Pivot podcast, and he called Laramie a vet, which meant that he didn't do anything extra or anything like that. That scared the crap out of me, because mm-hmm. that is a bad attitude to infuse and a bad example to set for the younger players on the team. Mm-hmm. Whatever any particular player is like now, it feels like they've got that buy-in.
Yeah.
And I would just tell you from personal experience, okay, I played for Tom Coughlin, old school guy, and Coughlin's kind of mentality was still of that, almost like a, what he probably thought was a military mentality, but which is they never actually know how the military works. That almost like, you guys aren't tired, you're soft. Get out there and practice. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, cool. Versus D'Amico, where I think it's probably more like, man, I want you guys to see the way that we played after this week or that week.
Yeah.
Or look at some of these mistakes we're making when we haven't practiced. And getting genuine buy-in from the veterans,
mm-hmm.
and it matters. That's where like all those little motivational things and relationship things, and simply having the right kinds of guys on your team,
sure.
that understand, all right, yeah, this is what we got to do. It's not every team is like that.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely, it's an ingredient in the, it's inherent in the guys that they go out and find that they would buy into this approach at this stage of the season. Andy Reid met with the media yesterday. What do you see on the Texans' defense, Coach Reid?
I mean, the first thing that jumps out at you is speed. That front can run. We didn't have a chance to play against Zero last year, or last time we played him a couple weeks back. And he's fast also as a linebacker, and he's kind of their main play caller there. So, you know, but he can, the speed of the D-line, the linebackers, just jump out at you. And they're real good. The hands of the secondary, those guys, they catch the ball. You don't see a lot of bobbles or drops or that. They, if you're presenting it close, they can go up and snag it.
Almost sounds like Andy Reid has a good grasp for assessing football teams.
It's a good scouting report.
I trust Andy Reid's opinion about what the Texans' defense looks like. Yeah, the ball skills is of Derek Stingley in particular, kind of freakish. He's like a wide receiver.
He's
got
yeah.
better ball skills. And like the ability to track the ball, everything like that, better than a lot of receivers, better than Deontay Johnson. And but Azeez Alshire, when he says Zero, he's talking about Azeez Alshire. That is, again, we talked about it. It's a huge X factor. You didn't have Azeez out there. Azeez's ability to both coach the defensive linemen when he's on the field, but then also to play off of them and cover up some mistakes sometimes by the defensive line, or if a defensive tackle is getting beat or whatever, Azeez can erase a lot of that. And then the overall, you know, one thing the Texans did in that Chargers game is they didn't play a lot of man coverage, but when they did, they were awesome at it.
Sticky, yeah.
Yeah, and they were, of the playoff performances last week, I was looking at a chart this morning, you know, the Texans were... They played amongst the fewest number of snaps of man coverage, but they had the highest grades when they were in man coverage.
Yeah.
And there were times where Azeez was stunting, and they had a five-man rush where either the pass rush came clean, or if it didn't, they were nails in coverage.
Yeah.
And it got better and better as the game went along. And then in the second half, they stopped rushing five as much. They just had a four-man pass rush, and it really started to click. And then they had him right where they wanted, because they had an extra guy in coverage. Herbert was getting harassed. It was really, really good.
Azeez didn't practice yesterday. It said listed with a knee. It doesn't seem like everybody's overly concerned about that, but it should be pointed out. It wasn't listed as rest. He wasn't limited with rest. He was DNP. Knee on the injury report.
And Nico didn't practice with rest.
Yeah.
He's
limited.
Because of rest.
Yeah, he was limited.
Just a veteran day rest.
Yeah.
Christian Harris is a big one that, you know, he only played seven snaps in the game. And D'Amico just said, hey, it's taken a while for him to come back.
Yeah.
So at this point, I wouldn't expect Christian Harris, like heavy usage out of Christian Harris for the rest of the postseason, but it'd be nice if it happens. But it feels like he's probably still kind of having a little bit of a roller coaster of when his calf is feeling good and when it's not.
Well, he'll get a full week of rest in between the AFC title game and the Super Bowl. You know, so that's where I'm at. Yeah. Texans are 50-1. They're the longest shot on the board to win the Super Bowl. 50-1.
50-1.
50-1, and the next closest is the Commanders at 28-1. So the Texans are like, they're out on the seventh circle right now when it comes to the Super Bowl champions.
If you look at the NFC or the AFC, the road for the Texans through the Chiefs and then either the Ravens or the Bills.
Oh, yeah.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
Yeah, I'm not overly. I'm not mad about
it. A lot of people offended at Vegas on that, and like it's just kind of like last week. The Texans, yes, it made sense that the Texans were the underdog last week. The Chargers had been a more complete and well-rounded football team. But it was
late in
stupid.
The season, too. Yeah.
It was stupid. I mean, they were three-point underdogs. It was stupid the way some people were acting like there was no way the Texans could win that game.
Yeah, that was dumb.
It was one of the most idiotic sentiments I've seen adopted wholesale ever. It was just, no, the line was where it probably should have been. And as long as the best version of the Texans showed up, or even a better version of the Texans showed up, yeah, they could win that game, obviously.
Line's up to 9 now on this game.
9?
It's up to 9. Have you gotten down?
Well, now I am insulted.
Okay, you gotten...
why? Because that's the betting public that's driving that up.
Yeah.
There hasn't been any kind of a change or anything that made the handicappers change their opinion.
No.
That's the betting public that's saying like, oh yeah, Texans, they suck. I forgot. Yeah, they totally suck, don't you know?
Joke you public loves favorites, especially favorites with a week rest at home.
Especially favorites with a look. We've benefited from this with the Astros for many, many years.
Yeah.
Well, until recently, that they just flat out have a knack for playing their best baseball and/or football in the
pedigree.
Playoffs.
Yeah, they got a pedigree, man. They got a pedigree. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's do some headlines coming up next. Kind of a light headline day, but we'll get into some of them. Texans have a couple moves they made yesterday. We'll get you up to speed on the injury report. As well, Texans also have a little something they want you guys to know about for Friday. So we'll give you a little thing to circle on your calendar. We'll get into headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, headlines. Let's get to them. Deontay Johnson waived by the Houston Texans yesterday. Reports that he was despondent in the locker room after the game, likely due to a lack of playing time. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday when asked about Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, with Deontay, unfortunately, it didn't work out, and you know, we're on to the Chiefs.
Okay, so short and sweet.
That was a nice eulogy for his time with the Texans.
Yes.
See if they bring him back in the for 2025. I'm doubtful, Sean.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. But I'm a little disappointed. I mean, just based on we were excited about the element on the field that Deontay Johnson could potentially bring, something the Texans are missing right now. Just, you know, they are lacking in guys that can beat man-to-man coverage, that are better than the guy, in all likelihood, better than the guy or as good as the guy physically across from them lining up. Then I went to a place where I'm like, well, they did just beat the Chargers by 20 without Deontay Johnson, essentially. So,
yeah,
you know.
That, the thing about it is, look, hey, John Metchie was open a lot. He just had a hard time clasping the football firmly.
Yeah, yeah.
That minor detail that we've seen with John Metchie, going back to all the way through training camp where, man, he had too many drops. Boy, he's right there. Like he's getting opportunities and for good reason, but, man, he's got to figure out a way
to
hold on to the football.
He's
going to get his opportunities.
Yes.
He's going to get his targets. He's got to hold on to the football.
Yep. Yeah. We had someone text yesterday. Hey, have you guys figured out why they're targeting Metchie so much? It's like, yeah, he's their number two wide receiver right now.
He's open.
Yeah.
He's open.
Yes, yeah. That's the best answer. Now, this one more significant, I think. The other move the Texans made yesterday, Cade Stover to the injured reserve with a shoulder injury. Here was D'Amico Ryans on that yesterday.
Yeah, Kay had a shoulder injury, and he'll require surgery, so Kay will be out for the season.
Okay, that sucks.
Yeah, it really stinks. Especially, man, it's been a rough couple months for him anatomically.
Oh, the appendectomy. Yeah,
dealing with the emotional damage of missing his append. You never appreciate your appendix while you have it.
No.
And then
no.
It's gone.
A little part of me. A little part of me is gone now. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Just little. Yeah.
And then, so he'll be fine next year. That's not like that's a big deal to recover from. But just unfortunate because, hey, we saw him get involved. I think CJ embracing the check down is a really, really good development.
Yeah.
And Cade was one of those guys in the last couple weeks that was a checkdown for CJ.
Yep, the injury report, these are the guys that were out yesterday, did not practice. We mentioned Azeez Al-Shaair in the previous segment with the knee. Shaq Mason is still injured and out with his knee injury. Juice Scruggs is nursing an injury. It doesn't sound like it's serious. And then Robert Woods on there as well. Look, it's the playoffs. If guys can walk, they're probably going to play in this game on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. And the offensive line right now, they've made improvements. This current lineup is, I think, the best they're going to do this year. And you got to lean into the positives that they've had. There's gonna be some plays in this game where they don't pick up a game or they don't pick up a blitz. That's just the way it's been all year. They've gotten better at it, and the fact that the run game got going in the second half versus the Chargers was the most unexpected development for me. The fact that Mixon was able to Mixon got across the line of scrimmage without being touched multiple times in the second half.
It was
half.
Wild to see.
He didn't have to earn all of it. And then honestly, Mixon and his reads and some of the way he's been running the ball during the season, it was getting kind of screwed up. There were times where it looked like just like with CJ, they were trying to do too much because they knew that the blocking wasn't good. If Mixon can trust the blocking in front of him, then you get that synergistic effect of, man, Mixon hitting the hole right where he should as hard as he can because he expects it to be there.
Yeah.
So there were just more instances of that last week than we'd typically seen.
They ran the ball 13 straight times on that drive, and it ended with a touchdown. Like, that's all the evidence you need. Like, don't jerk with this. It may not be the best line in football. It may not even be in the upper half of offensive lines in football, but it's by far the best version you've trotted out there this year. So leave it out there. And I don't think they're going to have a choice. Shaq Mason again, still out from practice yesterday. Hey, quick mention for something the Texans made public yesterday. They are looking for fans on Friday. If you're looking for a reason to leave work early on Friday at about, right before lunchtime, they want to send the team off with a big crowd out there, get the team.
Old-fashioned pep rally.
Yeah, kind of. It at noon on Friday is about the time the team leaves. It's going to be on the west side of the stadium. That's on the Kirby side of the stadium there with the two bulls. So I would imagine look for the crowd over there, but
that's the side that doesn't have an Astrodome on it.
That's right. Mm. So make a note if it's something you want to be out there with a bunch of Texan fans, some good fellowship on Friday to send the team off to the airport in style. H-Town send-off is what they're calling that. So get out there and then just don't go back to work on Friday. You know, begin your prep for the next day in the Texans and the Chiefs game Friday afternoon, you know?
And if your employer tries to dock you the pay unfairly or something, we'll sue them. We'll do it.
Oh, yeah.
We'll sue them for it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Meltzer does labor law now. I'll call him up afterwards and see if that's a... Is this a thing, Mike? Can I do this?
Can I?
And he's going to do his typical thing where he tries to talk reason to me. And I'll bully him into it.
Yeah, I was going to say, and then you'll fire back. Rockets in Denver tonight to face the Nuggets. 9 o'clock tip. The Rockets are they're second in the Western Conference right now. They've lost 12. I think they're 28-12 or 26-12. I mean, we're almost halfway through the season here. We're three games away from the halfway point. So this is starting to feel fun and real.
Yeah.
They play Denver tonight, so this is another good measuring stick game for them. You know, they're a year removed from being NBA champions, but they're still a very good basketball team. I think they're the 4 seed in the Western Conference right now. Rockets just took 2 from the Grizzlies, who are right behind them in the standings. And then you're at Sacramento, who just fired their coach. You're at Portland, who's awful. You host Detroit, who's not good. And then a week from today, the Cleveland Cavaliers come to town, and the Cavs you play a home and home with the Cavs this time next week, which, I mean, the Rockets could be going into that game. They're 26-12 right now. You know, they could be going into those Cleveland games, you know, somewhere, you know, like 30-12, 29-13, something like that. That's the real measuring stick. You know, like that's the Cavs are, to give you an idea how good the Cavs are, they're six games ahead of the defending champion Celtics, who have been very good this year. You know, they're halfway through the season, they're six games ahead of the Celtics.
No, this is going to be a fun stretch. It's going to be a fun week of sports because the Blazers game is Saturday night, right?
Is it?
So you got playoff football in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
And then whether you're celebrating or whether you're picking yourself up the mat, up off the mat at the very least.
Basketball.
You'll have the second in the Western Conference Houston Rockets to watch.
Hell yeah.
At 9 p.m. on Saturday.
It was cool. I watched a clip from one of Ime's press conferences. It might have been after the game a couple days ago. So Spillane actually asked him the question, like point blank, do you guys think you can win an NBA championship this year? And Ime Udoka didn't just say yes. Like, he gave a very long answer. Yeah. But it was very interesting. Like, he started kind of digging in on their record, and he's like, we've only lost 12 games. And when you think about it, he started rattling off names. He's like, and there was a Charlotte game, there was this game, there's the Portland game. He started rattling off games like, there's no way we should have lost these games.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was interesting that he was like naming names. Like,
so what you're saying is what he said was, I'm trying to figure out how any of these other teams are going to win a championship.
That's how I heard it, man.
Turn any of those losses into a 7-game series and we would have punked those fools is what he said. That's the quote I'm going to put on Twitter.
He is right, though. They're 26-12, and they've had some bad losses this year. Like those back-to-back Minnesota-Miami losses where they gave up like 15-point leads in the fourth quarter.
Well, no, and especially the losses where they squandered leads.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that I the way Udoka's wired. Those ones bother him the most.
Yes.
But it's also I look at them like, oh, yeah, but they're a very good defensive team that is still young as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, those are the losses, I think, as a coach. You're like, yep, we got these young guys really doing a lot of the right things, and it's a matter of just getting four quarters out of it. And you're probably kind of glad that they've learned some of those lessons because they're really understanding how you got to play to the echo of the whistle through all four quarters against some of these teams.
Yeah, and I think too, like those losses, I don't think it was because they like a lack of effort on defense or anything. Like, they shots just stopped falling. They're not a great offensive team.
Right. Yeah. There've only been a few times this year where you could wonder, like, hey, what happened to the energy, or what happened to where's that defense? You can rely on the defense by and large. It's going to be a good week.
Going to be fun,
good
man.
Sean.
Going to be a whole lot of fun. All right, heading into the 7 o'clock hour, what are the best things the Texans have going for them as they head to Kansas City this week? We're going to take inventory here, Apollo 13 style. What are the best things that we've got to cobble together a win in Kansas City this Saturday? We'll do that coming up next.